Drove rugged roads on an arduous trip that I promised not to share anything about until Alexia gets back. She's lingering in Miami for some family business, but we'll give you guys a photo opportunity with briefing here in a couple of Sundays. Not only that, my heart is still so tender from everything we were involved in, I can't even think about it without getting emotional. But it was a rigorous trip with a lot of good that we'll be happy to share with you. Did you ever have an encounter with the Lord that you can remember? More than one? See, these things sometimes, you know, one of the things I appreciate about King David was he journaled. We call it the Psalms. But in it, he would record the memories and encounters he had with the Lord. And if you track the chronology of his life, you can see where certain psalms showed up at particular times in his life. But I think it's good to remember how the Holy Spirit has actually apprehended us from time to time. In 1970s, somewhere in the late 70s, I remember we were having a small group meeting in my home. I was still on active duty at the time. And there were some crises going on in the nation. And the Lord showed me an image of people being overtaken by the crises, except for those who fled to the mountain of the Lord. Now, I remember that just as vividly today as it happened in the moment, because it was a revelation of the Spirit. And those things get cemented in your way in a way that bypasses your memory per se, because it's imprinted upon you as part of your encounter with the Lord. Then in the 1980s, I was being mentored in traveling with Mahesh Chavda. And like some of you have experienced, when you walk with somebody whose anointing is greater than yours, you tend to move up in that atmosphere. And so for those several years, I was prophesying way above my pay grade. It was just spooky how clear some things could be in a moment. And you just look into somebody's life and see what happened and describe it to them, what God's doing, and they're just changed by that. Then in the 1990s, the Laughing Revival and the Toronto Blessing, all that stuff was going on. And many of us were absolutely upended by the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit in ways that were astonishing to our mind and way outside our previous Christian experiences. In January 2006, I had an encounter with the Lord that just transformed my entire history, redefined everything about my life from his point of view. Now, I run across those real quickly just to remind us how incredibly important it is that we are intentional in our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. Because you take him out of the equation and you've got a real good shot at religion. And in religion, you can go through the motions and never have the power of transformation show up. I was in an amusing situation a couple of Sunday mornings ago. I was preaching in a church in Havana. And it was so funny to me because many of them were branded Pentecostals. Because we're up on the third floor of a house because Pedro's house and the church is just absolutely in shambles as they're going through a reconstruction process. So a lady allows the church members who can squeeze into her third floor to get up there. And they had this rocking worship leader. I'm telling you, he was over the top marvelous. I found out afterwards he's been a professional musician and singer all of his life, and then he got saved, and now he's an evangelist. But boy, he can lead worship. And he had those, they're crowded in the little pews, and that music is going, and they're getting down, you know, this kind of stuff, you know, and it was just so funny to me. I was just laughing and enjoying them, and I got up there and said, you know, religion is so antithetical to who we've really been created to be. I mean, I watched you in worship, and you were dancing to songs to which you're worshiping to songs to which you could do the rumba and the flamingo, and then somebody gets up and preaches against dancing. Religion is such a waste of time. It is such a waste of time. It'll steal the flavor from your food and the joy from your face. God says he has given us all things richly to enjoy. And the moment you say that, somebody accuses you of you giving everybody license to misbehave. Listen, you can't keep people from misbehaving. Religion can't even keep you from misbehaving. You have to have a living relationship with the Lord that includes reoccurring encounters with God, the Holy Spirit, because you can forget that revelation is a part of our inheritance in this life. We have access to the mind of Christ because of the one he sent to us who is just like him. So revelation is part of the children's bread. Are you the children of God? Well, have some bread. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, there's a bunch of things that I want to say to you, but you can't even receive them now. So don't lose sight of this. The disciples were not born again until after the resurrection. So there's a lot we can learn about natural people hanging around God's stuff so that you know how to relate to natural people who hang around God's stuff before they know God. He says, a bunch of things that I want to tell you, but you're not able to receive them yet. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will lead you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. How would you like to have access to what is to come? Now, I've got a prophet friend. She's... You know, I tell people, if she says it, you can take it to the bank. She was talking to me about a few elections ago, how the Lord showed up in her front room dressed like an Indian chief. And then she saw this figure walking toward the two of them in a suit. This collar turned up in a snow blizzard. Now, snow prophetically usually means trouble. And so this warrior chief says to her, "Pray for my commander-in-chief." This is prior to the election, and here comes George W. prior to 9/11 and all the stuff that happened since then. Now, I'm comforted by that. I don't care whether you like George W.'s politics or not. I'm telling you, the commander-in-chief told her to pray for the commander-in-chief who is not the commander-in-chief, because God raises up and God puts down. So vote if you want to. I encourage it. Let me say it like this. If you don't vote, then just shut up. You got no basis for complaining, all right? But along the way, we have these moments of clarity where the Lord comes and discloses things to us. Because he says, all that the Father has is mine, and he, the Holy Spirit, will disclose these things to you. That means we actually have the hope of revelation. And when revelation comes, transformation is almost instantaneous. We are people of revelation because if you have been reconciled to the Father through Jesus Christ, you host his presence within your skin. Your spirit has been reactivated, and you now have access to eternal moments in time and space when you need to hear from God. How many of you know that prayer should be more than whining? Okay. And if you pray, do you expect an answer? Well, then start listening. We should listen because he does speak. The issue of revelation should characterize our life because of our representational position in Christ. I remember challenging someone. It's been a few years back. I was trying to teach them something. When Jesus breathed on his disciples in John chapter 20, he said, "Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Now, you say, you try to get a Protestant to do that, and they have this Catholic knee-jerk go off. But that's what the Lord said. When you see someone who wants to repent, you simply declare to them that your sins are forgiven. Are they forgiven? Yeah, who forgave them? And who do you represent? You're your Father's Son. So you need to tell them what he says about their sin. They need to have that affirmation. So I was trying to pry those words out of this woman who is standing in front of someone repenting for their sin. So don't have her close her eyes and pray, Jesus, forgive me. Declare what Jesus said you're authorized to do. Tell her her sins are forgiven. Open your mouth and say. Because we are reluctant to step out into the truth, particularly when we're alone. Now, if the whole crowd goes that way, But we've got to come to the place where we are secure in representing the Lord. Sam was making some comments. We were doing this three-day seminar in Matanzas. And do you ever come across passages of Scripture and you just wonder what that means? You ever ask yourself that? Well, he'd been asking himself that for a long, long time about something. And it's, I don't know how it is for you, but there are moments when the spirit of revelation shows up. It doesn't matter what somebody else is saying. You're getting your own download. You know what that's like? But when you hang around people who have the spirit of revelation, wisdom of revelation, it's kind of like a canopy that you step under, and God stuff happens there. So he's talking about his revelation. The spirit is just whacking me. I don't think it looked like that, but that's how it felt. And he was describing the incident between God and Moses. I think it's Exodus 34, somewhere in there. Read it all, it'll bless you. But God has, he just about had it with those people. He said, look, I can't go with you because you're so obstinate. I'm likely to destroy all of you. So I'll send an angel before you. And Moses said, look, boss, if you ain't going, I ain't going. Because if you take your presence from us, how will the other nations know that we are yours? So I pray you, show me your glory. And God says, well, I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you. And so he takes Moses and puts him where? He put him in the cleft of the rock. What is the rock? 1 Corinthians, Paul says that they wandered in the wilderness and drank from the rock, and the rock was Christ. So Moses is afraid of what's coming in the future. So God puts him in the, which is a type of Christ, and says, you can't see my face, but you can see my rear parts. So we have somebody in Christ and the goodness of God leading them forward in compassion and grace, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. And the Bible says that the gospel was preached before there was a gospel to preach. Because Moses had revelation. From that point forward, he was not fearful anymore. Well, what I saw in that was the future. Because Moses had said to him, teach me your ways that I may know you. The psalm says, the people knew his acts, Moses knew his ways. And when you know the ways of God, you can discern things because you know how God operates. Catching on? So it's not just jot and tittle and the words that are in red if you carry one of those Bibles. It's the revelation of the God behind the words. And when you walk with him in obedience long enough, you start to catch on about what he's doing. You remember the scripture would say in several occasions, and Jesus perceiving what was in their hearts. What does that mean? It means if you know how God functions, you can figure out how God reacts to it. On a certain occasion, he's teaching about money. And the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, Jesus perceives what's going on in them because he understands what the spiritual orphan thinks. Self-promotion, self-provision, self-protection. It's always present. And when you understand the difference, when you know the ways of God, you can walk into any situation on the planet and have a pretty good idea what's going on. That's what it looks like. What is he talking about? I have an advantage. I've been doing this for 50 years longer than you. Okay, I understand. I'm just telling you there's a way forward. Because we are the Lord's representatives. And we need to be representing him from the place of revelation. Because without that, we're just another bunch of religious people. And the thing is, folks get scared with this stuff. I think it's important that we challenge one another individually and corporately to maintain an intentional attitude toward the presence of God. I am grateful for the manifest presence of God. And I love it when he shows up. It's very typical for me to be in an overseas situation. And as I'm getting ready to get on the platform or into whatever the conversation is, I get the little, it's okay, I'm here, touch. You know what I'm saying? Hey, about time you showed up, thanks. It's just that reassurance that I'm with you in this thing. I speak what I give you to speak. Because I'm telling you, there are places I go, they ain't happy to hear what I'm saying. And I've just come to take a lot of joy in that. I'll tell you this story because it was just so funny to me. I was in this situation with 40-something leaders, and I found out that the local pastors tithe to their own local church. You don't get it. All right, let me explain it to you. The pastor receives a salary, and he tithes back into the local church. So who is paying his salary? And if the church gets really good, he can give himself a raise and give himself a bigger tithe. Get it? And they didn't think a thing of it. Never occurred to them that might not be the principle. But when you live every day in a survival mode, you reach conclusions based on your situation rather than revelation. Do any of you remember the short story and then much later, the movie The Lottery? Seriously? I didn't know you could go to school and not read The Lottery. Every year, the community comes together. Oh, you didn't go to school. All right, I understand. Every year, the community comes together, and they bring out this old wooden box filled with numbers. Some of the numbers are missing. But in there, there's a blank one. And whoever pulls the blank one is the sacrifice of that year. That person gets killed. The rest of the community. Now, nobody can remember how it started or why they do it. But every year, someone has to die. So out in the cemetery, every month of every year, there's a body. And one old guy brags, 74 years old. He has survived 74 drawings. Now, that's a great picture of religion. You keep doing stuff. You don't know why you're doing, but we've always done it this way, so we just keep doing it, even if it kills people. I hope you guys are learning to connect the dots with me. Now, in the process of living in the spirit of wisdom and revelation and being a representative of the Lord, there's also the presentation of those things, which becomes very, very important. I have, in my ignorance, I have put up with some foolish stuff in the name of the prophetic. We just didn't know any better, okay? But now I know better. And there's just a lot of stuff I ain't going to put up with anymore. So we try to order our responses to the Lord's presence in a fashion that doesn't make you look weird. Because moving into any kind of prophetic grace is something of a challenge to you. Because it means, you know, anybody see the Last Crusade, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Last Crusade? And there was something, you couldn't see it, but there was something there to step up. What a great picture of faith. No, I'm not going to step off the platform. This is not the movie. But in our presentation, there needs to be a reasonable expression of God's grace without the foolishness. Okay? Sing it to the Lord. No, that ain't God. That's you. Okay? I can't possibly imagine Jesus doing that stuff. It's just embarrassing to think. You're representing him. Time out. Go to your corner. How does the Lord do stuff? He takes a towel and a basin, and he refreshes you. Okay? Now, I am fully aware that there are moments when the overpowering presence of God causes your body to respond in a way that's peculiar to you. In those days, I quit being so quick to judge certain physical responses to the manifest presence of God. I had a friend that whenever the manifest presence would show up, any of you ever walked out in the cold and seen your breath? That's a manifestation of your breath, okay? It's you interacting with the environment and something is visible. Well, it's like that when the manifest presence of God shows up. And I had this friend that whenever she was aware of it, her hand would start doing like this. And she couldn't stop it. It was just the way her body was responding to that. I had another one who would have been glad for this because she'd be walking like, ah! Almost like the Lord went, you're done. I remember Terry Curry in those days, she would get so inebriated in the spirit that if you were a police officer, you would arrest her for driving under the influence. Okay. Now, it's not always like that, but there are seasons when the Spirit of God will just come and sit and brood over you and challenge your mind. One of the reasons Jesus said, blessed is he who's not offended in me, is because he will offend your mind with what he does. But if you know his presence, you know, well, this is God. I can't wrap my mind around it, but I know the presence of God. So in this journey that we're taking, we want to be reasonable in what we do. Because one who is speaking from heaven's point of view to men, you know, that's a Bible term for us, but it's to the crowd. It needs to be for edification, to build them up, to offer comfort to them. We want to be people who are not candidates for straitjackets when we're representing the Lord, but those who can actually speak the wisdom of God and the insights of God. I don't have to shout to be heard. Unless I'm in a van on the roads of Cuba with the windows down. There are potholes in those roads that if you don't avoid them, you're going to be missing pieces of your vehicle. But in this process of learning together, I try to make it very, very safe around here because nobody gets it right. Okay? As you start out in your efforts to obey the Lord, we'll make sure you have training wheels on your vehicle. And we will train you. Eventually, we'll take your training wheels off. And we'll comfort you when you drive straight into the hedge without your training wheels. Because this is a learning process. And I want you to be free to learn. Okay? We've got some very capable people here because they have been practicing with the Lord for decades now. We have others of you who don't have a clue what I'm talking about because you've just never been in that environment. But you read in the Bible that you're supposed to have access to what God is saying in the moment. That's prophetic. It doesn't mean, yay, yay, thus say. It doesn't mean that at all. It means you get some kind of vision, you get some kind of image, you get an impression, you hear a word, you see a picture, and you just start telling whoever it is, this is what I see. Does it mean anything to you? Okay? One of my favorites was the dead bird. Mahesh was standing before this woman, and he said, the Lord is showing me a dead bird in a cage. Does that mean anything to you? And she just came apart because she was raised in an orphanage in Chicago. And the only thing in life she had was a little bird. And when new management came in, they forced her to put the bird outside in the dead of winter, and it died. And it became a thing of bitterness that had shaped her life. Y'all remember Bobby Connor's story about the duck? You know, who but the Lord can do things like that? He reaches back in the decades to point to the moment in time where something crumbled their spirit. We had children. In fact, one of my sons is here today. Where are you, Dave? My oldest boy, David, is in the back there. And I was, you know, I heard about the soup and salad fundraiser, and I said to Patty, said, what do you want to do? I said, well, we need to support it, but this afternoon I've got to go home and, you know, shovel snow. She said, no, 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 this afternoon you need to go home and watch David shovel snow. I thought, that's a great idea. That was your mom, son. But in our, in the natural service, I was sitting with the pastor and his wife, a lovely, lovely young couple. Down in Cuba the other day, and we were laughing and cutting up and sharing stories and this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden, the Lord showed me something. And so we're still sipping on their little cups of espresso. Y'all know what a demitasse is? That ain't my idea of a cup of coffee, so I have several of them. But in that moment, the Spirit of God just let me glance at something. So when they asked me to pray for them before they left our meeting, I had an opportunity to speak what I saw over them, and they identified with it. So they left there not only encouraged, but recognizing we shared the same spirit. So I fully expect to see that man and his wife in my future because they are atypical for the leadership in that nation. But you can just be sitting, you can be in Starbucks, having coffee with someone, and the Lord gives you an insight or a thought or a word, and you speak it, and it opens up heaven to them because we are his representatives. And we do, you know what? I just had the funniest thought pass through my mind. You don't have to say, yay, yay, thus say. I had the funniest thought pass through my mind. Does that mean anything to you? It's very common. Sam was ministering to one of the young women who serves us in that country. And he didn't know anything. I knew what was going on because she had shared her broken heart with me. But he just walks up and he's talking to her, you know, I'm sensing. And she's going, at me. I didn't say a word. But the Lord disclosed it and healed her brokenness in the conversation. See, that's what we represent. That's who we are. Jay, could you help me here, son? Because in our living for Christ, it needs to be more than just simply going to church and listening to somebody talk about something somewhere. And so years ago, and I had forgotten about this for a while, but years ago, I tried to help us come to grips but what it means to learn how to do God stuff. And so we had this banner created. And our basic attitude should be, if the dove doesn't show up, we're a dead duck. So next Sunday, this banner will be out. And it will be your turn to learn to fly. Now, that's not an invitation for you to start singing, "I'll Fly Away," see you 2 weeks from today. You've got to learn to engage his presence. We'll talk you through some drills and give the Lord opportunity to show you he's willing to speak through you. He will say things to you that matter, both to you and to someone else. He can address some area of your life that you're still stumbling over and you don't know why, and he can just show you in the moment, that's the day the rescuer was born, and you can be healed the moment he says it. So next Sunday is going to be a fun day. Okay. It's very, very important that all of us get engaged. In the activity of the Holy Spirit, I was out in the Midwest many years ago. We're driving through this long, flat area of the country adjacent to a railroad track. And I had never seen a train that long. I mean, it went on for hundreds of cars. And ever so often, there was an engine or two in the middle of this procession of cars. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Later on in life, I met a railroad guy. Long retired, but we were having lunch together. And he told me why you have to do that when you're hauling a long, long train. Now imagine this. You're like car number 250, and the engine is up front. And it starts moving, but you don't start moving. The one behind it starts moving, and the one behind it starts moving, and they're picking up speed before the next one starts moving. You get it? So back there, you're disengaged. So what they do is they put engines throughout this long thing, and all of the engines start moving together. Otherwise, you're disconnected, and you don't make the journey. Now, we're on a journey. God is trying to bring us into a more accurate representation of himself in the earth. And for that to happen, you have to learn how to move with the engines as they move, or you're disconnected from the journey. Now, I don't need you to be frightened by that. I don't even need you to show up. But you need you to show up, because we're going someplace in the grace of God. So next week, it'll be Fundy. I'll see y'all next Fundy. Let's dedicate some babies, because we have a responsibility to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That means as family members, as a community of faith, these children are our responsibility. The nice thing about walking in agreement with one another is if my kids are at your house and we share values, I can trust them in your home. That you won't let them watch what I wouldn't let them watch. That you won't let them do what I wouldn't let them do. Because we're trying to build character into human beings who can stand the test of adulthood and master it. Do we have all the babies up here? Okay. All right. Is this Grandma? Is this Grandma? Close friends of yours. That's interesting. I'm a close friend of theirs too. We must be friends. See how that works? It's so easy. Look at that. I have a new friend. Who am I waiting on? Jamerson? Graham? And who? Going once, going twice, Brittany Holland. Is that right? No? All right, Jay, you take over. I'm going to sit down. Apparently, I don't know what's going on.
Number five, here we go. As I was preparing for this morning, the Lord reminded me of something my dad used to tell us, and I think I've shared it here before, but I'll share it again. He would talk about a scripture that he had read, and I'll paraphrase what he said to us, and then I'll read that scripture to you. He would say to us around the dinner table, "You all are my arrows, and I'm going to one day knock you into my war bow and fire you into the future to places that I cannot go." Children are an inheritance from the Lord. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5 says this: "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." Our children get to go places that we were never meant to go, but that they were meant to. Each of us should look at our kids and think about what generations will be impacted by them. And when you're pouring into them, you're pouring into the future. It replicates at an exponential rate your impact. You see, there's some very key characteristics about arrows. Arrows need to be straightened. They need tempering. They need a point affixed to them. They need feathers attached. They need a notch, and they need cared for. Our kids need to be straightened. They need a hand of somebody who knows what they've been called to so that they can be set in the way that God has planned for them. They need tempering. They need to be hardened and set firm in that shape that they've been given. They need a point to fix to them. What good is an arrow when it hits the mark and it has a blunt tip on it? It has no impact in the location that it's been placed in. They need feathers attached to them. You know, feathers actually help the arrow to fly straight. They also actually provide a little bit of lift and direction when the wind comes. They need a notch. If an arrow does not have a notch, it will not launch. And they need cared for. You don't want them getting warped by the world and the effects that it can have on it. So who does this? Parents, family, and community of believers. You know, right now when I hold my sons, that warm touch that they have, their head there on my neck, and those tender moments are the most precious thing to me. But I know in the future, the most precious thing that will be to me is to see them walking what God has called them to walk in. Okay? If I do my job right, and I'm confident that the Lord has a great intention on that, there will be men who will be able to stand in the face of many things. So, parents, Christian parents who dedicate children, are making a promise to the Lord to do everything within their power to raise the child in a godly way, prayerfully considering what God has for them and laying groundwork for them. You see, what we're doing today is we're setting these kids apart. We're saying, these are marked for the Lord. We're drawing a line in the sand, and we're committing to their lives. Hopefully someday each one of these will come to know the Lord and walk in the way that they've been called to. So dads, the ultimate responsibility for the upbringing of these children rests on you. You are responsible. God holds you responsible. Moms, no one will have an impact on the lives of your children like you will. You are the most intimate person that they will come across for the majority of their early lives until they meet their spouse someday, and you will always hold a special place in their heart. Grandparents and pseudo-grandparents and adopted grandparents, you have the opportunity to use your wisdom that God has given you to lay hold of the future for these children. You're impacting generations by what you can pour into them. And you get to support these parents as they go through the challenges of raising these people. So today we have three: Kylie Holland, Sarah Jamerson, and Jackson Graham. Three more additions to our family here, and we're ready for it. So, congregation, I'd like you to stand right now. And we've been here previously. Some of you have stood up here. Some of these parents have stood up here before. I'd like you to reflect upon what you've already done here on the several times standing here and committing your lives to these children. Okay? This is a recurring thing and is part of the heartbeat of this place. Will you, this community of faith, purpose before God, these parents and these children that God supplies grace and opportunity to you, will endeavor to demonstrate to these parents and children a lifestyle of encouragement and example in Christian faith? Will you do this? We will. There you go. Please be seated. Parents, in the sight of God and in the presence of these witnesses, do you solemnly undertake to bring up your child in the fear and admonition of the Lord? All right. Do you promise to seek to lead your child early in their life to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And do you promise, as far as it lies within you, that God will help, with God's help and grace, you will set before your child examples of consistent godly living? Praise God. All right. Those who know these and they're dear to you relationally, please come forward. We're going to bless these children. I'd like you to stand around them and lay hands on these children as well. And actually, I'd also like to call up the prophetic team. If you could stand with each of these. You know, before he formed us in our mother's womb, he knew us. He has a plan and a purpose and a calling for each of us. And so I'm going to ask the prophetic ministers with each of these here today to see what the Lord may say about these children. I know that we have benefited from knowing specific things about our kids. I look forward to seeing those things come to pass, and some of them already have. All right. And all those seated, please stretch your hands forward with me as we pray over these. Father, we thank you so much for these children. We thank you for these future leaders. We thank you for these problem solvers. We thank you for these who will carry your grace and wisdom throughout the world, Lord. We thank you for this generation who's been called to this time and in this place, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would bring each of them up in the nurture and admonition of you. I ask that you would give their parents strength and wisdom and understanding, insight, Lord, into who they are so that they can be properly shaped, Lord, to how you made them to be, so that each of them would stand up in their calling someday, Lord, as you have called them. I thank you, Father, for your grace, for your peace, for your wisdom, and your revelation. Lord, I ask that they would experience health. I ask that they would experience your grace. And Lord, I ask that they would experience your love manifest in them and through them to this world. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And with that, you are dismissed. You guys are welcome to pray over these babies. Praise God. First-time guests, please meet us out in the lobby. We have the room just by the entrance to the door. Thank you very much. God bless you. And there's soup and salad downstairs.